Welcome to the Unbreakable Mindset Podcast, your burst of weekly inspiration to keep your mindset on track to manifest your greatest desires. I am Jude Dawn, your host, a world-renowned mindset coach, helping my clients and now you, the listener, to break free of the mental struggle, find contentment, meaning, and purpose in your life. Okay, welcome to the podcast. I have another great guest for you all. Today on the podcast, I have Kate Smith, and I'm going to hand over to Kate just so she can introduce herself, tell us whereabouts she lives in the world and what she does for a living, and then I'm going to tell you how we came to meet.
Hi, Jude. Thank you for having me today. Yes, hi, listeners. I'm Kate and I'm based in Wakefield in West Yorkshire. I'm a financial advisor and we connected as a result of me listening to your Spotify podcasts. But thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. So, Kate came to me, I think, a few weeks ago and she'd booked in a call with me because she didn't know whether she wanted to do Month to Manifest or whether she wanted to work with me one-to-one. And as we got talking, we realised she definitely didn't need one-to-one. She's pretty, she seems to have kind of things like grounded and in control and very few limiting beliefs from what we talked about. So she just wanted to focus on Month to Manifest. But while we're on the call, she was telling me about her manifestation stories. And then, how am I going to do this? I guess I've got so much to say and I almost don't want to like trample on your story. So I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand over to Kate because she has one of the best manifestation stories. And then what we'll do is from there, I'm going to ask you how you got into manifestation. But first of all, tell me the exact manifestations or tell the listeners the exact manifestation story you told me when you were on the phone.
Okay, so it all started back end of last year, this particular story, when I was reading E-Squared by Pam Grout, and it was the shortened version of the book. So this book is a really teeny tiny book, and in that book there are some exercises, and it's really about manifesting for beginners, and I would have classed myself as a beginner at that particular time. So I thought, okay, let's go for it. So the first exercise, for example, is really to prove that what you're looking for is actually out there. So in this particular example, she tells you to go looking for oatmeal beige cars. Now, you never see beige cars anywhere, but the next day off I went, took the little dog for a walk, and beige cars were everywhere. So once I'd done that exercise, I went on to the next exercise, and this particular exercise is talking about manifesting a particular thing that you really, really want, and you have to manifest it in 48 hours. So at this particular time, I'm reading this book, sat in bed just before I'm about to go to sleep. My husband's next to me, he's got no care in the world of what I'm reading. Anyway, I'm sat there thinking, what is the one thing that I really, really want? And there is one particular thing that I have wanted for years, but I have never been able to justify buying this for myself. And that particular thing is a Mont Blanc pen. Now, for those of you who don't know, a Mont Blanc pen is just a pen, but it's a really, really expensive pen. These pens start at around about £400 and go upwards from there in price. It's insane. And as a result, I've never really been able to justify buying one for myself, yet I have always, always wanted one. So anyway, I put the book down, switched the light out, and I went to sleep, and I'm laid there thinking, right, 48 hours, I'm going to manifest a Mont Blanc pen. But in my head, there was also this little voice going, don't be so stupid. Maybe you're better off just trying to manifest like a box of chocolates or something. But no, I thought, right, Mont Blanc pen, it is the one thing I have always, always wanted. So off I goes to sleep, and the very next day I got up and I'd forgotten all about it. So I carried on about my business, working from home as I do. And at tea time, as usual, my husband called, usually to say I'm on my way home from work, at which point I start making the tea. On this particular occasion, he said, I'm going to be home a bit late tonight. which was quite unusual. So I said, right, that's fine. I'm going to make the evening meal anyway. And if you're not back in time, I'll put yours in the oven for you. So he came home quite a bit later than I was expecting. But anyway, I'm in the office. So I just said to him, your tea's in the oven, I've already eaten. So he sat in the kitchen, he ate his tea. I was in my office. Anyway, I went upstairs. I don't remember what for, but I went upstairs. Anyway, I came back downstairs to my office, and in my office, sitting on my desk, is a gift bag. Now, just to put this into context, it's November. It's not Christmas, it's not my birthday, it's not our wedding anniversary. So why is this gift bag sat on my desk? Even more unusual is that this gift bag is from a jeweller's shop. Now, my husband never buys me jewellery. So this is all just a little bit weird. Anyway, I opened up the gift bag, and in this gift bag is this beautiful gift box with a tag on it. And I opened the gift box, and it's wrapped in tissue. I'll move the tissue aside, and there it was, this box. And it said on it, Mont Blanc. I absolutely could not believe what I had in my hands. I was absolutely gobsmacked. So I opened the box, and there it was, the Mont Blanc pen. In less than 24 hours since I was thinking about it. So the tag did actually say, took it, happy anniversary, 10 years since our first date, love from Dave. So I was like, wow. I mean, I couldn't believe that A, he'd remembered 10 years since our first date, and that he bought me this gift. So anyway, he's in the kitchen. So I went in and I said to him, firstly, thank you for this incredible gift. And secondly, it's not actually 10 years to our first date until next week. He said, yeah, I know that. It's the 1st of December. But today I had this urge to buy you a gift. And there is absolutely no way I could wait until next week to give you it, because I know how much you've wanted one of these. And I was just absolutely blown away by it all. So I just said to him, I said, look, you are not going to believe what I'm about to tell you now. I said, that little book that I was reading in bed last night, it was an exercise to manifest something specific in 48 hours. I said, and I manifested a Mont Blanc pen. And here I am. It's in my hands less than 24 hours later. And we both just kind of like looked at each other in utter disbelief. And even to this day, I still can't believe, as I tell this tale, that that actually happened. And likewise, neither can he, really. But yeah,
it works. It's just mad, isn't it? And do you know what? So this was the bit that I was going to literally run with as I started introducing you. So obviously, you told me that story, and I was driving at work the next day, and I had this massive download from the universe of an idea. And this was how I then decided to do the Month to Manifest community, so we can have a community of support and share like all of these wonderful stories. Because a story like that, and this is again why I wanted to get you on the podcast, because a story like that will, if you're sitting on the fence and you're like, oh God, like, but just doesn't work, like, or am I literally just kind of making this up in my head or trying to make myself feel better, those examples of stories like that, you know, that's, it's too much for it to be coincidence, isn't it? Like, that's far too much for it to be coincidence. For you to read that book and within 24 hours and it not even be your anniversary, like it was the week before, that could have been.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even if it had been the week after, you would still be kind of like, well, okay, divine timing maybe, but that was like so precise. So I love this story. And then consequently, because of that, we are now sharing stories in the Monster Manifest group and having these lovely guided meditation sessions once a month now. Mm-hmm. But I did want to get Kate on just to share that story with you all. So moving aside, I'm going to ask you questions that I don't know the answer to. So tell me, what prompted you to start doing manifestation? Like, I think one of the things that you said to me is that you have a good mindset. If you want something, you kind of work towards it. You're, in terms of your outcomes, versus where your mindset is. You know, I know you definitely said this on the call that was, you know, like I've made a success of myself. So obviously you've had the right mindset and you've went in the right direction, but where did law of attraction come into it?
I read many years ago The Secret, which I think a lot of people have read.
Yeah, it's a starting point, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then The Law of Attraction, and I've kind of always been interested but never really focused on it as such, or even really been a massive believer in it. And then I was introduced to the book The Magic by Rhonda Byrne, along with another podcast, which was the Law of Attraction podcast. And that was introduced to me by a friend who, again, this particular friend, she came into my life from not knowing her. She actually moved into the neighborhood where I lived, and we got chatting, and then we went out for coffee one day, and we just kind of discovered this common ground, but she was a lot more into it than me. So she said, look, you really need to listen to the Law of Attraction podcast, and you really need to do the magic. So I was like, right, yeah, great. So that's how it started. And then I did the E Squared book, and then since then it was, I then became a believer that there is no such thing as coincidences. So for me, that's really how it started.
Amazing. And tell me about the things now, looking back then, if you don't believe things are a coincidence, what do you realise now that you've manifested in your life?
Well, where to start? Well, I guess my biggest and most successful manifestation is the fact that I now run my own business. Something that, again, was probably just a dream, if even really a dream, because I've been a financial advisor for 20 years now, and I've always been employed throughout that time. And then a couple of years ago, I was given this golden opportunity to be able to work for myself and run my own business. And it was a really, really daunting time. But that's all become a reality now, and it's way more successful and bigger and better than I ever imagined. And it's just phenomenal. Another example, and now you come to mention it, I could probably think of quite a few, but another one I was thinking of was, because I run my own business and I do work from home and I am very, very busy, one thing I was particularly thinking was, I would really like, and it probably sounds a little bit drastic, but just some help around the house. You know, I have a cleaner, I have someone that comes and washes the car, and things like that. So I thought, what would be really, really useful is if I just had somebody that would do things like the supermarket shopping and putting a meal on the table for me every tea time. Because a lot of the days I'm out and about, I'm busy, I don't always have time, or I'm not always around at tea time to cook a meal or whatever. So I thought it would be really great if I just had a helping hand, like, I don't know, an elderly neighbour, and just wanted some pocket money and would do something like that for me. And I thought, well, where on earth do you find said person? Anyway, a long story cut short, what I didn't realise is I have actually manifested that to come true. And as a result of my success and running my own business, what it has meant is that my husband has actually been able to leave work, and he is now a full-time house husband. And since that time, I've not cooked a meal and I've not done the supermarket shopping. So I've kind of manifested my own personal chef. So yeah, that's amazing.
Amazing. And the other reason why I got you on the podcast is because you kindly sent me in a question to the podcast, and I was going to put it on this episode, and then I thought, hell, let's get you on the bloody episode and do it live. So can you just ask your question, then I'll go through what I was going to talk about.
It was when you'd asked your listeners to post questions to you, and I thought, the one thing that I sort of struggle with is talking to sort of non-believers, you know, people that are quite critical about manifestation and the law of attraction. So it's really how you would suggest approaching that, but also as well, how to introduce the conversation if you don't know that somebody is a believer or does the law of attraction and manifesting. So it's Yeah, how to bring it up in the conversation and also how to deal with somebody that might say, yeah, that's just coincidence or it's all a load of rubbish. So that was my question to you.
Do you know what? I think this is the same with anything that you have a belief in. There are people out there who don't believe. And, you know, it's similar to religion or, I don't know, what you want to feed your dog, like whatever it is, other people will have an opinion on it. And I guess it just depends what type of person you are. So I am somebody who doesn't like confrontation. I don't really enjoy, I'm not a huge one of debates where if somebody was kind of like, you know, trying to stamp their opinion and trying to get my opinion, I would probably avoid that conversation because that feels negative to me. So I guess when I'm introducing it to clients, and obviously with clients, it's not something I specifically work on because I work on their mindset when it's a one-to-one basis. But I always say to them, if you are interested and you have any questions, you can definitely ask me about it. Obviously, if you're not, it's fine because it's not going to come into the sessions. Most people are curious, is what I would say. But if I give you examples of, I think I remember introducing it to my sister, right? So the first time I ever introduced it to my sister, because she was kind of complaining about something at work. And I was like, and this was years ago. And I'd said to her, you need to read The Secret. And she got The Secret. And then again, months later, she was complaining about something. And I was like, have you read The Secret? And she got really annoyed at us and was like, no, I can't focus on something like that because if I go to that mindset of believing that something good's going to happen and then it doesn't, I'll be more disappointed. And I remember thinking, oh, actually, she stumped us a little bit there. I don't really know what to say in response to that. But that was before I kind of became a full-time coach. Now my response system to that would be, yeah, but what happens if you just sat in that mindset of, you know, hoping that something good happens? That mindset is way better than just presuming that something bad's going to happen. Like, you wouldn't, if you were in that space of excitement and that mindset that it takes to manifest, which is glass half full, then the likelihood is that you probably do believe in law of attraction, because your mindset is thinking, do you know what, if I go after that, I could probably get it. And it's a completely different mindset as somebody who might not believe in law of attraction, because law of attraction, you almost have to be risk adverse. You have to be somebody who is going to step outside the comfort zone slightly. You are going to have to be somebody who believes in something that they don't know fully the origins of it or the facts around it. And therefore, you tend to find the people who don't believe in it possibly sit in a negative bias. And I just think if that's where their mindset is, you probably couldn't have that conversation with them anyway because they're not open to it. So I guess if I meet somebody new, I would not be adverse to kind of saying, like, you know, something I might be talking about work and I'd be like, oh God, yeah, I'm just going to manifest that. Like, I'll drop the little word in. And if they kind of then ask more about it, then I would talk to them about it. But it's not something I would ever openly push on somebody, especially if they weren't in it. I am just completely not going to entertain a conversation where I'm having to try and convince somebody. Because if I'm trying to convince somebody, then what's the point? Then they're not open to it. So therefore, they're probably not going to be able to practice it. So it's a waste of my time. So I don't know whether that answers your question, but tell me an example of when you've tried to convince somebody or talk to somebody about it and you've almost been given a brick wall.
Firstly, yeah, that does really answer the question, because I suppose it is quite it's a personal thing, isn't it? It's a personal belief. And therefore it is quite a sensitive subject to talk about, a bit like religion or money or anything really. Somebody in the gym overheard me having a conversation to somebody who was an outright manifester and believer. And then this other person was kind of shall we say taking the mickey. And that was a bit that's why I thought, oh, actually, yeah, you've overheard me talking about it, but now right, you're taking the mickey out of me. And I just found that a little bit offensive. So sometimes now I'm a bit reluctant to share my views with somebody unless, like you say, sort of sometimes just dropping it into the conversation. If they pick up on it and they're intrigued, then yeah, I'll talk about it. But if it just stops dead, then it's like, yeah, we don't go there. And you can sometimes gauge, can't you, whether somebody's got a negative vibe about them or if somebody's open to discussing subjects such as this.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess I'm lucky in that sense that I've never come across anybody who's either taken the mick out of us or been mean about it. But I guess that's the same with anything in terms of, do you know what, like, how would you normally respond if somebody was being mean or somebody was kind of trying to put you down? I would kind of brush it off a little bit. I would figure out the best response. And I'm not great sometimes in those moments if somebody is, you know, I have a neighbour, I'm not going to say which one in case anyone listens, but I have a neighbour who's, their attitude is awful. And sometimes they say things to me and my response system shuts down and I make excuses and I go away. And afterwards, I always think of a better response and I think, damn it, I should have said that. yeah, but it's almost after the event. And I guess, do you know what, that all you're trying to do here is protect your energy because that made you feel bad. Them almost disbelieving it would have made you feel bad. And if that had been me and I wasn't in a great headspace, maybe I would ruminate on it. But what I would say is to anyone out there, if there's somebody out there trying to make you feel bad, whether it's about law of attraction or a colleague at work who's just saying something derogatory, people can be mean, but whether you allow that to infiltrate your mood is on you. You know, like that person at the gym who's like actively listening to your conversation and then saying something mean, like in my opinion, they're absolutely in the wrong there because either weren't invited into the conversation and now they're saying something mean. But if you allow that to dampen your mood, that's on you, and that's probably something that then you can reflect on and go, do you know what, I probably need to work on that because I shouldn't allow the opinion of somebody else to make me feel bad. And that's the same with anything, isn't it? You know, like I've done so much work on my self-worth and my confidence that I know that everything I do comes from a good place. So if you are, I guess the reason why I probably ruminate more on my neighbour than I do anyone else is because I know they don't know me. Like they don't know actually that I'm a really nice person. They whatever they have done, they have perceived something. Or I think they're horrible to most people, to be fair. So I'm kind of, you know, whatever. And I can hear them sometimes arguing when you walk past the house and stuff. And I think, do you know what it is? These are mean to each other as well. Like, this isn't just about me. So I've done the work to reflect on that. And again, coming back to that, if we remove the thing that you actually asked about versus how it made you feel, reflecting on that and doing that work on, do you know what? If somebody's got something to say to you, that's on them. But again, reflect on, have I just allowed that to make me feel bad? And that could be anything. That could be, do you know what? A client decides to stop working with you or, don't know, somebody doesn't respond to an email. Whatever it is that you're allowing yourself to be triggered by, you know, I've just had this conversation with a client of mine who's got a product-based business. And, you know, you get people when it's, you know, low-priced items will complain about anything, like literally anything. So you have to be really stealth in how you feel and what you put out to not be affected by the fact that somebody's complaining about something that's your baby, you know, your business is your baby. Yeah. I've went off on a complete tangent, but effectively it's the same thing, isn't it? It's like, it's totally up to them if they want to believe it or not. And like, you know, unless you've decided to do the work of law of attraction and become a preacher, then it doesn't make any difference. If it's working for you, it's working for you. And if somebody wants to join in the conversation and ask you, I think when it would be difficult, Kate, would be if it was like your husband's really open to it, I'm guessing, now that he's heard the story,
yeah,
but also because,
so.
So he's kind of probably interested in reading the same things and stuff. But if you had a partner who took the mickey out of you and wasn't invested in it, I would almost be questioning, is this the only time they do this, or can they do this about other things? You know, because I can, you know, there might be stuff that my husband likes that I don't like, but I'm not going to take the mick out of him for liking it. And so therefore, what, you know, question the relationship, I would say, in terms of if somebody's putting you down because you believe in something that they don't believe in, I would start to look at other areas where this happens and start to think about what can you do to explain that actually, you know, it's fine if you don't believe, but you need to not have an opinion on it an opinion on what I believe, because I'm invested in this and I'm going to learn more. But if you don't believe it, that's fine. I'm not going to talk to you about it. But you're making us, you know, and explain, you know, and be honest if it's making you feel bad. But I am like you. I'm very, very lucky that when I first met my husband, he had a copy of The Secret in the glove compartment of his van. because the cleaner at work had said, oh, you should read this. And I remember, you know, one of the things that I asked for on my list of things that I wanted from a partner was for them to have the same beliefs as me. And if they didn't, what I wanted is that at least they respected my beliefs, because I've definitely been in a relationship where they didn't get it and they didn't believe in it. But to be fair, there was many other things that was wrong in that relationship. It wasn't just to do with the fact that they didn't get the fact that I believed in love attraction. So yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? And I think when we've got different views and opinions to people, like, I don't think my mum would have got it. I definitely don't talk to my dad about it. I wouldn't, if they're not invested in it and their mindset isn't in that space, I'm not going to waste my energy talking to them about it. And if somebody was, if somebody was at the gym to say, if they were to kind of turn around and go, oh, it's a load of rubbish, like it's just coincidence, I'd go, well, you know, that's okay. I believe in it. But if you don't, it's fine. Like, I mean, I'm not sure I would say those exact words, but I'd like to think I had a decent enough response where I'd go, oh, well,
yeah.
Everyone's got their own opinion, haven't they? Because you're going to go off and go home. And you're going to continue, and they're going to go off, continue not to believe. But I bet they do a little bit of research. I bet secretly when they see you, when they see you drive out of that gym in your Range Rover, like, I'm guessing they're going to do a little bit of work to go, maybe there's something in it here. She looks successful. She's driving around in a Range Rover and her husband doesn't have to work. Like, maybe I should look. So yeah, but it is, I think, in a nutshell, and it, had you not been live on the podcast, the thing that I was thinking about talking about was, in every scenario, it's about protecting your energy. That should be everyone's priority, whether you believe in law of attraction or not. Like, it should be about protecting your own mindset. Because if there's something that pulls you to a negative place, that's on you if you allow it to. So you've got to work hard to reflect on, going, why did that trigger me? Why did that make me feel bad? And that is about just looking at your mindset and making sure that you are protecting it in every shape possible. Like, I always remember, I know this is completely off a tangent, but remember going into a supermarket and it was a sunny day. And this is northerners for you, so I don't know whether it's the same down in Wakefield. But I remember walking in and going, oh my God, isn't the weather amazing? And the woman behind the till going, it'll not last. It'll probably finish by, it'll be raining next week or something like that. Right? Yeah. And I remember thinking, oh my God, like years ago, I would have been sucked into that kind of attitude. I would have been like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And do you know what? Because I'm not sucked into that attitude anymore, the glass half empty, I was like, oh my God, well, it could be, but let's bloody enjoy it today because it's lush outside. And I thought,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What? I just had the best response. And like, there was a woman yesterday as I walked across the traffic, across the road, the traffic lights were on, And I don't even think it was taking that long for the little man to go green, but she started tutting. And I'm thinking, is that your day that you're going to get annoyed with the traffic lights not going on green? Because God love you, like, you're going to get so pissed off with the rest of the things that are coming your way today. Like, for me, just being around those people does nothing for me. Like, it literally sucks the life out of us. So I choose who I want to be around. I choose who I want to talk to. And I protect my energy when it comes to it. So, yeah, so not engaging in conversation. I would never, like, if somebody doesn't believe in it, I'm not going to try and make you believe. Like, if you want to ask us questions about it and what I've manifested and why I believe in it and what I've read, absolutely, I'll give you that information. But if you want to try and just really, you know, go against the grain with it, you know, even like religion, I'm a Catholic and I used to go to church, and I don't necessarily go to church now, mainly because of timing, because I work on a Sunday. But if somebody was to kind of almost go, but you know it's not real, don't you? I would be uncomfortable with that conversation as well. Like, I'd probably avoid it. I'm an avoidance of anything that's negative. I really am. Does that answer everything that you asked?
It does. It does. I will bear all of that in mind. Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. You're more than welcome. So tell me then, what have you started doing since you, I guess from a mindset point of view, so my last question to you, and I don't know if you're going to know the answer to it, because you might not be conscious of it. But before you started learning about law of attraction to now and knowing what you know about law of attraction, what do you do differently? And I don't mean from like a manifestation, you know, a ritual point of view, but from a mindset point of view. So I talk there about protecting my energy, and I really make sure that I don't. And that's mainly because I know the other side of my mindset goes depression, anxiety, and I stay clear of that. That's not a position I want to get back into. But what do you do from a point of view of how have you changed from knowing law of attraction to what was different before that?
For me, I think, well, if I go back many, many years, I always used to be quite a pessimistic person.
Really?
For example, I've taken many, many exams in my lifetime to get where I am. So I always used to think, oh, well, if I fail, anything better than that is a bonus. And that used to be my outlook many years ago. And then over the years, I've tried and tried to become a much more positive person. And a lot of my friends have always said, oh, you always find the positive in everything. And I really do try and look to the positive in everything. I do try to surround myself with positive, upbeat people rather than mood hoovers that tore up the green man,
that word.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do try to always maintain a positive outlook. And if there is some negative situation, try and find the positive in that particular situation, whatever it's relating to. Because if you're talking about the negative, obviously you're putting out a negative vibe there. So it's easier to just not talk about it and put the positive slant onto whatever situation may well be occurring. You know, I read now a lot of books. Once I've read it, I pass it on to the husband. So he's done The Secret, he's done E-Squared. Little does he know, he's reading Positively Wealthy by Emma Mumford in about 25 days' time. So yeah, I do a lot of reading and listening to a lot of podcasts, such as yourself, since discovering you. Only a couple of months back, I've listened to your entire back catalogue of podcasts now. So all of that, it's just, I just try and surround myself with positivity all the time and always look for the good rather than the bad in any given situation, really.
I mean, that's a perfect point to end on, isn't it? So just want to say before I end the episode, if anyone, and I challenge you all, has a better manifestation story than Kate, then I would love to have you on the podcast. So please do DM me with any of your manifestation stories, especially if you want to come on the podcast and share it with all the listeners. Thank you so much, Kate, for being a willing participant to come on the podcast and to share your story.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And might I just add that you have just made another manifestation come true for me, because since we did speak a few weeks back, you kind of joked and you said, oh, maybe I'll have you on my podcast one day. And we both kind of laughed it off. And literally, since I ended that call with you back then, I said to my husband, I'm going to be on her podcast. And in my mind, I thought, why on earth would she want me on her podcast? But here I am. So thank you.
I've got goosebumps. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? I wouldn't have been joking. If I say that to people, I mean it. Like, your manifestation story blew me away. And I was like, oh my God, I'll have to get you on the podcast at some point. I genuinely meant that. And it's just so nice that actually what this has kind of then continued in, it was something really, really nice. Like, I am so thankful that you're the universe, because, you know, people don't book in calls to buy the month to manifest. They just go on and they you can access it on the website and they just pay for it. So I don't necessarily get to connect with people, and I always thought that was a bit sad. And actually, because of your call and now having the Facebook group that we've got, I actually get to do that. So you've made one of my manifestations comes true, which is to connect with people and hear people's manifestation stories. So thank you very, very much, Kate. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
And that is it now for 2 weeks. I am taking 2 weeks off the podcast to rest this little croaky voice and to come back all refreshed. If you have, and I thank every single one of you who has, sent me a podcast question, it will definitely still get answered. So I am making a note of all of them and I'm backing them up so I get to answer them on the next episodes of the podcast. So yes, thanks again for connecting with me, all of you, and sending in your questions. And just as a little reminder, if you do have an amazing manifestation story that you want to share, please do DM me. Have a great few weeks, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Unbreakable Mindset podcast with me, your host, Jude Daunt. If you have enjoyed this episode, then please do share with others. And it would mean a huge deal to me if you would rate, review, follow and subscribe on your podcast app. This will allow the podcast to keep growing and going to new audiences. And if you want to know all the ways in which you can work with me directly, please visit judedaunt.com. coaching.co.uk. The links will be in the show notes.